As many times as we are lauded for the achievements of our education system, we are reminded that a very large section of our young people are being left behind. In this, the week when schools break up for their summer holidays, what can be done to help those who are let down by the system? John Platt retires from teaching this week after 40 years, 13 of which he spent as principal of Millburn Primary School in Coleraine. And Paul Hewitt is former principal of Royal School Dungannon. Good morning to both of you. Welcome.
Good morning.
Paul, who is being failed by our system?
I think the question really should be is who is failing the children. I believe that our teachers across the province do a fantastic job and have done so over 40 of the most destabilising, unsettled years that any area of the United Kingdom has had to face. Their achievements, I think, will be recognised someday. I think who is failing the children is probably the right question. I think there, particularly in government, the amount of money that's being spent in education has failed to manage to help us out of some of the problems that we're having. I think those systems, the solutions have been recommended on numerous occasions by various bodies, Barnardos, the universities, and the money is not being spent in the right ways to help the areas of deprivation and the huge amount of unsettlement there is and is going on into this marching season. I think parents in some cases have a lot to answer for too. I listen to talk about parades and so forth and protests over the week after week, and hardly once do I hear anything being discussed about what this effect this is having in the children in those deprived areas. I would like to see a lot more attention paid to what's happening socially, because the schools can do so much, but so often their hands are tied by the funding that they get to do the work they have to do and by what's going on in society around them.
John, do you agree with that?
No, I don't agree with any of it at all. I think there are a number of very clear and key indicators which we are all failing to understand. First one being, if we look at the PISA indicators, we have slid down.
Just explain what that means, PISA indicators.
The performance tests carried out on all young 16-year-olds across the entire world, and the UK, Northern Ireland have been sliding right down that performance ladder for the last 15 years. The second set of indicators are the GCSEs, where we have in Northern Ireland the bottom 25-30%, and year on year that figure remains the same and nothing's done about it. The third set of indicators are the countries which have changed how they address the testing of their children, the assessment of their children, and we look particularly at the Nordic countries, which removed all forms of selection some 30 years ago, and they went from being mid-league tables to top of the world league tables. We know that there's massive research evidence saying we should change, and we're not changing.
So part of your solution to this would be to remove testing and selection?
Well, I think if you tell a 10-year-old that they're a failure, they're unlikely to beat a Finnish or a Nordic child who's been told he is not a failure. We can't have the state telling children that they're failures. In the highly successful systems, the children are encouraged to make a decision at either age 14 or at age 16. And those children are outperforming our children by quite a considerable degree. So we need to do something to change that.
Paul Hewitt.
Well, I'm looking at the figures for the Nordic countries, particularly Finland, which used to be lauded a lot by a former Minister of Education here, and Sweden. And Sweden stands, but if you take anything by those tables, by the way, I have to say that nearly 100 academics have said that those tables are totally flawed in their methodology. They're discredited and are not being used either at Westminster or here now by those involved. But even if you take those tables, those flawed tables, Sweden stands well below the UK. Inside the UK, Northern Ireland stands above other parts of the United Kingdom. I don't think it's to do with testing at all. I think the problems are much more social. There are problems in deprived areas, and we have to address those. And there are problems with the curricula that we have, both in primary and in secondary. I think we're being asked to do, teachers, that is, are being asked to do a lot more than they should be asked to do, and they haven't the freedom to go the way that they wish to do. So the most outstanding countries in the world are the Asian countries, right at the top of those, even those flawed tables.
And they have a lot of testing.
They have a lot of testing. They have huge pressure, huge suicide rates amongst the young people in those countries. But if you look at Singapore and Hong Kong, the Chinese, China itself, both Taiwan and the mainland, you find that those children are doing well, very well, but they're taught in huge classes, and it's really their sweatshops, and parents there are very concerned about that.
But that doesn't sound like that's the model for us, John.
It's all right saying the figures are wrong. OECD, the 34 countries tested most recently, Northern Ireland was 34th of 34. The Suffolk Trust, of all the countries tested, Northern Ireland was way, way down the league table there. So it's very easy to say that the figures are wrong when you're coming from a socially advantaged part of society.
Well, why are we hearing all the time that we've got the best education system in the world?
That's why we're not changing, because everybody thinks we've the best education system in the world.
You think that's just political spin?
It is. We have the highest funded post-primary sector in Western Europe and some of the lowest results. Now, that is statistically accurate. We are funded to, if we take Finland, spend 70% of what we spend on education. The Nordic countries invariably spend much less and they get much greater results. If you want to talk about the Asian countries, well, they spend 10 times less and they get phenomenal results. So there must be something wrong with our structure if we're not able to perform at the level of these other countries. And we're not, and our children are being failed, and it is predominantly the working class children who are being failed.
Paul?
Yeah, well, again, I have to go back to say that we're not focusing the funding, an additional funding. I wouldn't suggest taking it any away from what we've got. The teacher-pupil ratio is good in Northern Ireland. But in those areas of deprivation, social unrest, we've got to find social as well as educational answers. And I still think that everybody that I speak to in education feels that some of the things that they're being asked to do under the curricular arrangements are excessive and unwise, and unfortunately being governed by political ideology rather than by educational principles.
We'd have a lot more money to spend if we didn't segregate so often, wouldn't we?
Well, can I say that if we look solely at finance, we have the most inequitable system in Western Europe. All of the high-performing countries are based on equality. We don't know what equality is in Northern Ireland. We have refused to accept that there are major inequitable structures within our system, and that has to be addressed if we are going to improve the chances of our working-class children.
Paul?
Well, where we have done certain things like comprehensivisation, we find that there is a large raft of independent schools or private schools, the sort of school trusts that you've been hearing about more recently in England. And those are for-profit organisations, or else there is a fully independent sector. And in those schools, they're very popular schools, very highly attended, and they tend to exacerbate and increase the margin between the haves and the have-nots. And I think in Northern Ireland, we don't want to go down that route.
Isn't it true, Paul, that many parents want, perhaps most parents, want a grammar school system in Northern Ireland because they believe it's the best system for their children? They think their children are going to prosper academically in that system.
That's right, for two reasons, one of them good and one of them bad. The good reason is that it is absolutely true that for academically able children, we've shown time and again that there is success for those.
It's working for them.
It's working for them, and it's at no cost. It's not an expensive thing to have. It's there for all if they wish to participate in it. But the wrong reason is that the other type of education in other schools is not valued for what it does, not allowed to do what it wishes to be, much more vocationally oriented. And once we start to put the emphasis on both pathways and say that one is not better than the other, they're just different, and that we appreciate much more the value of non-academic education. That's what I would like to see, that the vocational pathways would be increased and that we would get back to a model of technical schools and academic schools, and that would achieve a lot of the solutions that we wish to see.
John, what do you think of that?
Well, I would argue very, very strongly against that, again, on the grounds of equality. The countries
and some people don't actually come into their own academically until their teens, isn't that right? And they may be stuck in a technical route.
Yes, many, many countries changed and radically changed some 30, 35 years ago, and we have refused to accept that the system we have in place is wrong. When you deny any child an equality of opportunity before the age of 16, there is something wrong with the system. How many 10-year-olds know what they're going to do in life? How many 12-year-olds know what they're going to do in life? The highly successful countries go straight through to at least 14, most to 16. And at 16, the children make the decisions, not the state. We can't have the state telling a child at age 10 or 12 that he or she is a failure. That is completely unacceptable, and it's completely unacceptable to have the inequality that we have in our system.
John Platt, Paul Hewitt, thanks very much. That really lays out some of the arguments that the educationalists have been having about our system. A segregation system within education, according to the critics, which segregates people academically, socially, and religiously. Do you think the solution is to break up that system? Let us know what you think this morning. 81771. I'm taking your tweets as well at William Crawley.